Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, BPW number 84. That's Bais Pnimi for women, Shir number 84. We're talking about building trust and almost everything we talked about, whether establishing respect or building trust, is a two-way street. We emphasize these same concepts for the husband towards the wife and, of course, from the wife towards the husband. Another aspect of building trust is to be accurate and truthful. One cannot expect to develop trust in a marriage when truth is taken casually. It's very important to remove ourselves from sheker, from falsehood. And even though it says that you're allowed to be mishanev if they darker shalom, that you could say an untruth pertaining to peace, like when Sarah said, Avram is old, and Avram and Hashem changed it to I am old, and some other aspects like that. That is only if the relationship overall is based on a truth, on a trust. But when it's not, even if it's not complete lies, like, you know, you're cleaning the house to your husband and you're actually shopping, which is an outright law. You don't say mipnei shalom. You don't want your husband to get mad that you didn't do something. So you're going to, because of shalom, you're going to be mashana. That's not how it works. Certainly not on a pattern type of basis. Be honest of what you're doing when you're doing it. But many are less careful with exaggerations, embellishments. So for example, if you say, your husband, he kept you waiting for a half hour when it was more like 15 minutes. You don't have to exaggerate. He came 15 minutes late or 12 minutes late or 17 minutes late, not a half hour late. There's no need to make the offense bigger than it is. If you were inconvenienced, uncomfortable with a delay, it doesn't make a difference whether it's 15 minutes more or less. The main point is that, it bothers me, this delay. If it's a valid complaint, it'll stand on its own. And, if it's a habit, it could be discussed and it could be brought up. But it could be brought up without exaggeration. It doesn't need embellishment. If you need to make a point and the only way to make the point is to embellish it and make it bigger, then it probably shouldn't be made at all. This is what the Chazal say. If you add to truth, you're really subtracting from the truth. You have a perfectly reasonable complaint. You could convey that in a normal, healthy way, not to create an exaggerated complaint, because when you're doing that, then all the husband's doing is defending himself against that exaggerated point. So if you said you were a half hour or hour late and the husband knows he was only 15 minutes late, then he'll argue, what do you mean I'm a half hour late or 45 minutes late? That was only 15 minutes late or 10 minutes late. He'll focus on that point and he'll miss the main point is she was upset by his lateness. So the exaggeration weakens your argument. If it was 10 minutes, it was 10 minutes. But just say the 10 minutes, this was very important or whatever it is. That's how you have these communications, not by exaggerating, not by embellishing. And many of these quote-unquote lies start off innocently. Husband asks the wife, what time will you be home from your shopping? She says, I'll be back 6 p.m. And she doesn't show up till 8 p.m. It's true, she has no way of knowing. There may be long lines, traffic congestions, whatever. That's fine. But the husband will lose trust in her ability to tell the truth. If you say you're going to be back 6, then you'll be back 6. And if you can't, say, I hope to be back 6, but I may be delayed, and I'll call you at 5:45 or 5:30, and then let you know where I'm at. And then when it comes 5:30, she calls her husband and says, I told you I'm going to be back by 6, but I got delayed. This is what happened. I left the mall, and now I'm in traffic. And it doesn't look like I'll be home till 7:30, but it's an honest answer. Of course, she could also make it her business to come back 6 if it was very essential to do so, you know? But the idea is, if you do something like that, in a responsible way, even if you came an hour, hour and a half late, your behavior is showing, though, I'd like to be home six. If anything holds me back, I'll stay as long as I could finish my errands, and I'll let you know. And she didn't mean to lie when she told her husband when she will return. But if you just say it and then come 2 hours late, it's destructive to the building of the trust if it happens often. Or if she gives information that she really doesn't have. Her husband asks her, you know, she wants a rug cleaned. And the husband says how much it costs. And she has no idea. She says, it'll be less than $100. So he says, okay, go ahead with it. Bill comes for $250. The husband gets upset. And the wife says, I was only guessing. And the husband says, I trusted your opinion. I thought you knew. Could have been avoided by simply saying, how much does the rug cost? And the wife says, I don't know how much it'll cost, but I'll call. I'll get an estimate. I'll get a few estimates. Or I'll ask around. It's better to say, I don't know. And not tell a number without knowing. So these miscommunications happen often. And if it happens often, then ultimately the husband will lose trust in his wife. Another thing is when she promises to do something and then fails to carry through. It's better not to commit to doing that. Be honest, I don't know if I'll be able to do it tonight. I will be able to do it tomorrow or something like this. So for example, what's not helpful is if a wife says, every time I ask you to do something for me, you're too busy, you never help me out at all. Again, the problem here is you're using every, never. That's not accurate. Very often the husband does comply to his wife's wishes, sometimes. And therefore, if you say never, he's going to shoot back, what do you mean never? The right way to say this is as an example, I asked you to take out the garbage twice this week and you didn't do it, and I had to do it myself. How can we avoid this happening in the future? Because that was the agreement that he does this. So here, the wife is correct, and she did it the right way. She's sticking to the honest facts. She's making a complaint. She didn't call him inconsiderate. She didn't call him selfish. She didn't call him lazy. She didn't say, you always do this. You never do this. You never take out the garbage. You never help me out. She's stating the recent problem. This last week, you was twice or whatever, however it was, where you didn't do this, or it's been going on for 2 weeks already. And she is pointing it out to him and inviting him to let's solve the problem. Why? I forgot? Okay, so could I remind you? When could I remind you? And have a discussion about it. So when you say, stay truthful to a valid complaint, it increases trust between a husband and wife, even though it's a complaint. It's not like you're constantly bashing your husband. This is a legitimate thing where you expect him to do and he didn't do twice, three times, or whatever it is. And you're stating the fact respectfully. But to blow it up and say, you never help me, you don't do anything, you're lazy, you're whatever, that is inaccurate, and it weakens the trust between the two. Another aspect, and again, two-way street, I have to say that often, is to respect your husband's emotional limits. Meaning, you need to know in a normal way, as he's working on himself, yes, but what's irritating to him? What is he secretly afraid of? What's his insecurities? And he trusts you. If he trusts you and told you about some weakness he has that he's working on, don't abuse your knowledge by using that information against him. Usually she won't do that, chas v'shalom, unless she's extremely angry and wants to hurt her husband. But in general, she has to be very careful not to do this. This could be emotional abuse. Emotional abuse is a two-way street, unfortunately. Physical abuse, for the most part, men are more prone and guilty, husbands more than wise, of actual physical abuse. Although you'll be very quite surprised that there are situations that even though the husband is theoretically stronger, but he would never do it, and the wife actually is physically abusive as well. This does take place. Whether the husband can retaliate, he doesn't, or he's, whatever the reasons are, that does happen, but it's much less common than a husband exhibiting physical abuse towards his wife. But emotional abuse, both ways. Very often, the wife could even be more vicious in these areas of emotional abuse than a husband is. It really does go both ways. But suppose a wife knows that her husband dislikes his boss, is having a hard time with his boss because of behaviors that his boss is exhibiting and his anger and his this and his that. So then they're arguing with each other for whatever reason. And you tell your husband, you know, you're just like your boss. Again, she's correctly just triggering him. You're throwing a match. You know this will infuriate him. And you think that you won this victory because you're so sharp, you'll win the argument. But that's a very serious loss because the husband will withdraw. The trust is destroyed. If he's misbehaving, there's a way to call out his misbehavior in a factual, accurate, respectful way of holding your ground. You don't have to be a shmata. You don't have to be a doormat. You have a right to express yourself and defend yourself when, especially if it's a little more than once, but not in a way that will cause serious hurt, to cause him to withdraw and lose all the trust. For example, you know he has a fear of flying. He's very uncomfortable flying. And despite knowing that, she books a flight for the two of them for their vacation. And you assume, oh, he'll get over his fear. And he reacts violently. He says, no, what are you, crazy? What? That's not, and gets extremely upset. She feels like a victim. She's moise nefesh, nebuch, badly treated by her irrational husband while she was only trying to help. But in reality, it was her fault. The fault of this is hers. She knows that he's sensitive regarding the subject of flight. And therefore, needs to respect that. Try to figure out ways around that. Or say, is there a way we could take this flight? Is there a way we could overcome this? Because I'd really like to go on this vacation. A cruise takes too long to get there, and so on and so forth. Could we work together to overcome your fears? You have a right to say, you know, let's get help to overcome these fears. And so on and so forth. So if you know something will upset him, this is two-way street, of course. Something upsets a wife, a husband needs to know to be very sensitive about that. But because they each have intimate knowledge of each other, and here in this case, the wife has intimate knowledge of him, she has an extreme strong power to hurt him severely because of this knowledge that she has about his limitations. But if your goal is happiness and shalom, don't always hit his weak spots. If it's absolutely necessary in a situation, you use it tactfully, you daven before, and you're very sensitive about it, you could address it. In some cases, it's better to avoid it, you avoid it, or you ask a shiloh, whatever it is. To provoke it is very, very hurtful. So that's something that one needs to be careful. This is what we call emotional intelligence. A husband knows that he is ruining his marital happiness if he's not careful respecting the emotional limits of his wife. And a wife knows that she's ruining her marital happiness by not being careful in respecting the emotional limits of her husband. It's just the way it is. So, is supper ready yet? The husband asks. You know, and she responds, I'm not a cook. If you're so impatient, come here and help out. What's wrong with you? That's not the right approach. If she asks, supper not ready yet? You could say, is the supper ready yet? You could simply say, no, it's not ready yet. It'll be ready in 10 minutes to 15 minutes. End of story. So you have a right to respond. And you have a right to respond borders. I'm not ready yet. It'll be ready in 15 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it is. Again, yeah, he really should talk in a nice tone. That's his job. But that's basically the constant idea here, is that being considerate is extremely important. And when one knows the other one is vulnerable, to treat it with respect, not to use that information to hurt the person. And again, I'm going to say it again. Two-way street. A husband knows when he is ruining his own marital happiness by not carefully respecting the emotional limits of his wife. And the wife knows that she's ruining her own marital happiness by not carefully respecting the emotional limits of her husband. Bracha natzlacha.